This is episode number 129 with managing partner at SQL Database Modeler, Ajay Singh.
Welcome to the Super Data Science Podcast. My name is Kirill Eremenko, data science coach and lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you inspiring people and ideas to help you build your successful career in data science. Thanks for being here today, and now let's make the complex simple.
Welcome everybody to the Super Data Science Podcast. Today on the show I have Ajay Singh, who is one of the co-creators of the project SQL DBM, or Database Modeler. This is an online tool where you can design your databases from scratch to make sure that you design them in a way without flaws, or, which is something that is probably more relevant to data scientists, you can reverse engineer your databases. So you can upload a schema of an XML file of your database, as long as, of course, you receive the authorization from your management, and understand how the databases are interconnected so you can access the data faster. So that's a really, really cool insight, and we'll talk more about that on the podcast. And also, some of the topics that we'll go into include normalization schemas, relational versus non-relational databases, non-SQL databases, cloud computing, big data, and a couple more. So the way to approach this podcast is as a quick glossary slash crash course into databases. If you're not very comfortable with all the terms and all of the developments that are happening there, databases I find are very important because they lay the foundation of our work as data scientists. So that's why in this podcast we have like an overview of lots of different terms. So you'll find that it's kind of like we touch on lots of different topics, and everybody will find for themselves something that is interesting for them. And on that note, let's get started. Without further ado, I bring to you Ajay Singh, who is the managing partner at SQL DBM. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Super Data Science Podcast. Today, I've got a very exciting guest on the show, Ajay Singh, who is one of the managing partners at SQL DBM. Welcome, Ajay. How are you going today?
I'm doing, Kirill. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast.
Fantastic, fantastic. And you are calling in from San Diego, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
I'm in San Diego.
Awesome. Well, first of all, Happy New Year. We're recording this on, the 4th of January, so it's super exciting. Or is it like 4th of January for me, 3rd for you? So Happy New Year. It's really exciting to be in 2018.
Yes, thank you, and same to you.
Awesome. Did you have a fun celebration?
Yes, sir. We had a great 2017 celebration.
Goodbye 2017 and hello 2018, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic. Awesome. Well, so today is going to be an interesting podcast. It's going to be different, a bit different to what we normally talk about, because we're not going to be talking about like analytics models and the applications of different application data science. We're going to talk about something that lies in the foundation, something that we often as data scientists overlook, but something that we need in order to do all of our analysis. And that something is the database underneath what we do. So we're going to talk about database architecture, structures, potential errors, how to deal with databases. And you, out of all people, are one of the most well-positioned to give some advice to us, to me and our listeners on that. So I'm very excited about today's session. How about you? You excited about today?
Yes, Kirill, I'm very excited about today's session.
Awesome. Okay, let's start maybe with the basis. Let's answer the question why, so that our dear friends who are listening to this show can understand why it's so important for us to know more about databases. So what would your answer be? Why is it important for a data scientist? And I know through your project, you deal with a lot of software developers. But on the other hand, for a data scientist, why is it so important to better understand database architecture, structures, types, and how they work and what goes into a database?
I think it's very important, even for the data scientist, to know how is the database designed. Where is the data actually stored? knowing your database or your data is very important to analyze the data. So where the data is actually stored, which databases, which schemas it is stored, how it is related with each other, that really helps all the data scientists to analyze the data. And that's where any database designing tool or which can aid them to visualize their database really helps in this, it really helps to understand the data and analyzing the data.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And for like, because we have lots of different levels of listeners on the show, for those who are just starting out into the space of data science, analytics, and just data in general, can you give us like a quick 2 or 3 sentence answer to the question, what is the difference between an Excel spreadsheet and a database? So like, what are the core differences there?
In Excel spreadsheet, the data is pretty much flat. Mm-hmm. In a database, especially in a relational database, the data is all integral. It's with each other. So that really helps to maintain the integrity of data. You cannot have disconnected data which does not belong to other tables or any errors in your data. I'm just trying to think of a good example. For example, you cannot have an order without a customer. But mm-hmm. in an Excel sheet, you can have order without a customer.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay, so it's more structured in that way.
It's more structured. It's more tight. It helps to have the data integrity. It helps to keep all the basic concepts of the database.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And the other thing that I would probably add to that is Excel. Like, Excel is great if you're just starting out. But like Excel, I find it has like one flaw. And tell me what you think about this. Like, in Excel, you can put formulas and numbers and text and all sorts of things. You can mix them up. You can mix data and logic inside. And you have to, you know, to put a formula into an Excel spreadsheet, you have to put it into a cell, just right next to a number. But in a database, you have the data and the logic separately, right? You have the data in the database and the logic goes into the scripts that help you interact with the database. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you got it right. So Excel is more of a visualizing your data, but your database is structuring your data, how you want to store the data. Mm-hmm. But in Excel, it's more like a reporting format.
Yeah. And also, I feel that it's very important for data scientists to like be aware of how databases work and stuff, because like, where do most organizations store their data? Not in Excel spreadsheets, they store them in databases, right?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so tell us overview, like what are the main types of databases that people can encounter out there? Like what are the main, I don't know, brands of different databases? Because like there's a couple of different ones. So like which ones would you outline?
So there are Microsoft SQL Server, mm-hmm. there is MySQL, there is PostgreSQL, there is Oracle. There are tons of different type of databases out there. Mm-hmm. Especially these days, there is a NoSQL database also. So currently what we are supporting through SQL DBM is mainly SQL Server databases. Mm-hmm. Soon we're going to integrate it with MySQL also, because there is a huge community which works in MySQL as well.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So there are many different type of databases out there in the market.
Awesome. I guess it's a good time to talk a little bit about your project. What is SQL DBM all about?
SQL DBM is mainly an online database designing tool. Mm. It helps database modeling or database designing. It helps you to visualize your database, to see what are the different tables out there in the database, what are the different schemas, how they are connected. And it also enhances users to find any loopholes in their database, what they can fix, how they can enhance their database designing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. And so, like, we spoke a little bit before the podcast, and for our listeners, I want to outline what I feel, what kind of different value we can convey in this episode. And I kind of feel that there's 3 groups that we can give most value to. And first of all, is anybody doing data science. As we discussed, anybody doing data science needs to be aware of databases and have like certain understanding of, let's say, schemas, relational versus non-relational, NoSQL databases, and other things that are out there. Then there's a second group, which is data scientists who need to design databases, not complex databases, but simple databases in order to feed data into their analytics projects. For instance, you might be creating a BI dashboard, business intelligence dashboard, or you might be creating some sort of model like a logistic regression model to classify your customers or predict churn, and you need to roll that out. So you need to design the database the way it'll work in order that will work with this model so that it can be repeatable in the future. And then the third group I was thinking is data scientists who are actually slowly like on the verge of software development, because SQL DBM is a great place for software developers, but in terms of data scientists that are on the verge of software development, that is kind of like more into the space of AI, machine learning, deep learning, where you need those databases because you're almost developing an end product. So I guess let's start with group number one. I'd love to pick your brain about the most important things that people, the most important terms that people throw around there in terms of databases. So where do you think we should start? Should we start talking about some schemas, or you know, maybe tables and procedures and normalization, other things? What would you say is the most important thing?
I think the most important thing is the normalizations. Mm-hmm. Looking at your tables and see how they are connected with each other. Mm-hmm. Are they properly connected with each other? Do you have proper foreign keys? Do you have proper database constraints in your database? Mm-hmm. That really helps to have a nice database out there.
Okay. Let's start there. So maybe let's start with like an overall overview. We have a database which has several tables. Those tables are linked. Every table has a primary key and a foreign key. What is a primary key? What's a foreign key?
Primary key is mainly which tells you what is the uniqueness on that table. Mm-hmm. So what is the unique ID which defines, or what is the unique column that defines this is the row of that table, which doesn't repeat at all.
Uh-huh. Okay. So for instance, customer ID in a list of customers table.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha. And then foreign key in that same list could be what product they purchased, right? So for instance, a customer number 001 could have purchased product A, and customer number 002 could have also purchased product A. So it doesn't have to be unique, but the foreign key, it links to the other table, right?
Yeah, foreign key guarantees that this ID also exists as a primary key in the parent table.
In this case, the product table.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, so we got that out of the way. And then, so what is normalization then?
Normalization, there are different levels of normalizations out there. For example, it helps you to make sure your data is not, it helps you the data is not duplicate. Mm-hmm. So there is no redundancy in your database.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So for example, you have a customer name, and the customer name should not exist in another table also, because then there can be a conflict on that.
Okay, gotcha. So there's like, when we were recording the database course last year, I learned about three types of normal forms. First, 1NF, 2NF, 3NF. We won't go into too much detail, but so just to, like, as a summary, like what you're saying is that, let's say if you have like the customer name should only be in the customer table. It shouldn't be repeated. What's the point of repeating the customer name inside the product table, right? When we know what they purchased or something like that. Is that right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. So that's normalization. What about schemas?
About schemas, schemas is basically to group your tables under different categories. So for example, you can have a sales schema, and which has all the sales related tables. You can have a users schema, which can have all the users, roles, permissions, tables. Mm-hmm. So schema is basically to categorize your tables.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And so when somebody's dealing with a database, right, like let's say a data scientist goes into a company and opens up their database, like what are some of the first things that they need to look at, and maybe some of the challenges that they will face when trying to understand how to access the data that they want?
One of the challenges what they face is they don't have a users do not have a good visualization of their database. So they don't know which tables they need to join to bring which data. Mm-hmm. So if they have a good visualization tool or some kind of a diagram which can help them to quickly grasp where their data is stored and which tables are connected, mm-hmm. that would really help them to write nice queries and get the data out of it.
Okay, and so how would you say to overcome that challenge?
How would they work on that challenge?
Yeah, how would they overcome it?
Well, they can overcome by having a good tool which can reverse engineer their database into a good diagram which they can quickly grasp and see how tables are connected. Uh-huh. And that's how they would overcome.
Oh, interesting. And so are those tools like common in organizations, or you know, would like if you just go up to the database manager, is it like you just say, hey, could I get the diagram of the database, or what would the steps be there?
The tools are actually, there are not many tools out there who do good visual aid of the databases. And that's where we saw the huge gap in the industry from many, many years, mm-hmm. which motivated us to get into this SQL DBM tool, which really helps the users to visually see their database and understand their database and find what are they missing in their database. Are they applying proper normal forms or not? Is it properly connected? Have they proper foreign keys? If they have all the constraints that they need. So that's where SQL DBM plays a role also.
Interesting. So SQL DBM doesn't just help you design the database from start. It helps you analyze an existing database. Is that right?
Exactly. So it can reverse engineer your database, and you can pull your database into SQL DBM, mm-hmm. and then you can adjust it as per your needs. You can enhance it. You can fix it. You can create nice different diagrams, subject areas, so that you can have a proper categorization of your database. Instead of having like 100 or 200 tables in a single folder, you can split them up into different diagrams and see them clearly.
And so, but I thought SQL DBM is an online tool. So you have to upload your whole database to online, or am I getting something wrong?
It is an online tool, but it helps you to reverse engineer your database. The beauty of SQL DBM is it does not require any credentials of your database. Mm. So you don't need to share any credentials. You just run a query in your database. It pulls the XML and then you upload it. And then it works from there.
Oh, I get it. I get it now. So an XML is just like a file that contains the structure of the database,
exactly.
but not the data.
Exactly.
Oh, and then because, so you're not uploading like 10 gigabytes of data. You're just uploading
We're just uploading the structure of your database.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so okay. And so that eliminates the whole privacy issue, right? You don't have access to the data, so there is no privacy concern.
Yes, exactly. Because we understand it's a huge concern with a lot of companies, a lot of users, and it should not be there. I mean, we just want to look at the structure. Not we. I mean, the user wants to look at the structure only. So yeah. Why share those very important credentials of the company?
Yeah, the only thing that will be kind of like in that XML file is the names of the tables and the names of the columns, right?
So exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the only thing. So if a person is comfortable sharing that, like, you know, if there's no intellectual property associated with the way they design the database in the company, like a manager should be totally comfortable allowing a data scientist to do this investigation and understand, oh, how does this thing work? Like, how is this database structured so I can get my data much quicker?
Exactly. Yeah, you got it right.
Okay. That's really cool. And so how long ago did you guys launch SQL DBM?
I think it's been around 6 months now.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, for our listeners, it's sqldbm.com. And is this right? It stands for SQL Server Database Modeler, right?
Yes. It's SQL DBM, which is SQL Database Modeler.
Okay. Gotcha. And so, yeah. So what kind of uptake have you seen in the past 6 months? How frequently are people using your tool?
It surprises us every day. Yeah. We have seen such an enormous growth in number of users in last few months.
Yeah.
It is, and all the feedbacks that we get is like phenomenal.
Yeah.
We really love this because like me personally, I've been in software industry for more than 15 years, and there is not much out there, any good tool which does such a great job. I'm not being biased because it's my tool, but it actually is a beautiful product.
Wow. And actually, you guys have previews on the front page. I'm looking at it, and you have, what do you have? Design your own database online, forward engineering, reverse engineering. And like, I'm watching this GIF for the reverse engineering, and they did exactly, well, it shows exactly that. Somebody's copying an XML file, uploading it to your tool, and then bam, it pops out with a map of the database, and you can drag it around, and you can like see what, how the tables are connected. That is so cool.
Yeah, and it's very easy and very intuitive to understand how to use it. You don't need any user training for that. It's very intuitive, actually.
Awesome. And if you don't mind me asking, like, does it cost anything? What's the price to use a tool like this?
Currently, it's absolutely free for all our users.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, but down the line, there might be some price attached to it, but it's going to be very, very reasonable as compared to anything out there.
Okay, really cool. And so that's so cool. So, like, but, you know, you're obviously putting time into this project and effort. Like, why are you giving it away absolutely free to anybody who needs this tool?
Currently, our driving force is there is not much out there.
Yeah.
And we want to help the software development community, especially the database development community, to have a nice tool which can really enhance their productivity. So it's kind of a way to give back to community.
Yeah.
We really enjoy all the feedbacks that we get, and that is our motivation, you can say, for now.
For sure. That's awesome. And I'll add to that. It's, again, definitely very useful for software developers and design database administrators. But for data scientists, if you're listening, you're a data scientist working with databases, and like I've been there, I'm sure lots of us have been there, and you're running around the organization trying to understand where to get the data, how does it work, like this looks like a really cool tool that can really help you out. So if you're scratching your head trying to understand how things, you know, how to best structure your next project, maybe check it out. I think it can be very, very useful. Okay, that's the project you're working on now. Interesting. So how did you even start into this space? Like, tell us a bit about like your background and, you know, what you studied and what path brought you to creating SQL DBM.
Well, I have done my engineering and my master's both in computer science. Mm-hmm. And I've been in software development. I've been writing programs and designing databases and working with databases from more than 15 years. Mm-hmm. What drives us into SQL DBM was for all the projects that I have worked on, I've been looking for a good tool which can really help us to visualize our data and to analyze the data that we have. And there was nothing much out there. Mm-hmm. And even from the Microsoft, who has like SQL Server from many years. So that's what motivated us to design something which can be really useful to find all the design issues that you have in the database.
Hmm. Yeah, okay, that's good. And so you have a few co-founders, is that correct?
Yes, so we are a team of three people. Mm-hmm. All three of us are co-founders. We are in the database community from many, many years. Mm-hmm. And we are all working day and night towards it and getting it out there.
Okay, cool. And so how do you guys meet?
One of them is my childhood friend. Mm-hmm. And another guy went with him in his school time. So that's how we met together, and that's how we are rolling.
Gotcha. And like, the reason I'm asking these questions is because data science is a really powerful space, and like anything to do with data is powerful. And like, I'm just trying to understand, how does somebody who has an idea, how do you take that idea from just being a thought in your head to being something that is benefiting the community and it looks like a really inspiring project? So I can imagine, like, you wanted some tool that can help you analyze these things. You had this idea, but then what's the next step? Like, did you go and just like write it down on a paper, start programming something, or like, how did you get from there to where you are now?
Yes, we started writing down on a paper. We started thinking how it should look, how it can help, how quickly users can understand how to use it, how visually it can be easier for everybody, even who is not from the database background or who is very beginner to the database, how they can easily understand, visualize the database. And that's how we designed all the different panels, different backgrounds. You won't even believe, Kirill, like for even single tiny colors on the tool, we have put a great thought behind it. How it should not distract you away from your tables, but it should be subtle out there. So there is a lot going on our in our life with it.
Yeah, I have to say it looks really cool. I like the choice of dark black and dark gray. It looks very stylish and at the same time non-invasive.
It's very easy on your eyes also.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's really cool. Yeah. And so what are your plans? Like, you know, 6 months this has been live and you've been getting some great feedback. Well, you said you want to implement some other SQL languages, so some other tools in there.
Yeah, so we have a lot of plans with SQL DBM. We are about to launch MySQL support in next couple of weeks, I would say. Mm-hmm. And then we have another features coming up, like Collaborate feature. Yeah. Because we realize like designing a database or knowing your database, it's always a teamwork. You need to have different team members working on the same project or looking at the same project at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's coming up. And you can have different color schemes of different tables. That's coming up. So we have and then after MySQL, we have a plans to add Postgre as well as Oracle. I would tell you one thing, Kirill, the main driving factor of new features is our customers. Mm-hmm. They tell us what they want. It's not us who are like the final authority. Yes, we help to drive this ship in different directions, but all our customers are part of this whole team.
That's really inspiring. And I'm always actually impressed by people in the space of technology who go out there and just create something from scratch like this. And the reason is like, are you not concerned that a bigger company like, let's say, Microsoft might just come along and see that, oh, wow, this is a really cool thing that the world needs, and they could create something similar. And because of their resources, they, you know, you could just end up like way behind. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a very good question. We actually, I don't know what would happen if some big company like Microsoft would come and create a replica of that. Mm-hmm. They could do that. Well, they could do that many, many years ago also. It's not something we reinvented something, yeah. But we polished a lot of things. We got different ideas from different applications, and that's how we brought it together. Mm-hmm. So, to be very honest, we are not scared about that, but we'll see where the future takes us.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that attitude. And you know, at the end of the day, you're helping people, changing the world a little bit, little step at a time. And you know, that's already good enough, right?
And right.
We'll see what happens in the future. Okay, awesome. All right. So we've got this tool and. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, you mentioned there's design issues. You know, some people can, like when designing a database, your tool can help prevent design issues. Can you tell us a few examples of design issues that like data scientists should look out for that can be a hindrance in their work, in their analytics? What are some of the most common database design issues that exist out there?
I think one of the common database design issues are not having the proper data integrity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes database developers or the developers do not connect their databases and do not follow the proper database concepts of normalizations. And that's where their application looks good, but down the line when the data grows, then they get performance hits, then they get all different kind of database conflicts, and once they are down in that area, then it's very tough and it's very expensive for the whole company to fix those issues. And that's why the database designing or any good tool really helps to visualize it and take a look and how the data is connected, what should be connected and what is not connected. Mm-hmm. So that's where it helps.
Okay, it's a problem that happens at scale, right?
Yeah.
Most of the time. So if you don't have smart database design, you'll have, and so for the data scientist, that means like the speed of access to the data will be slow if you have a large database.
Would be affected, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. What? Anything else that pops to mind? Any other major design issues that could be a flaw?
Yes. Well, I have noticed many times there are many hanging tables, mm-hmm. which are not connected and which are not in use at all. Mm-hmm. So that eats up a lot of space, and that eats up a lot of not only space, but you have to back up your databases and do lots of stuff on that. So SQL DBM really helps you to clean all that stuff which you really don't need.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. All right, that's very cool. Thanks for that. Could you tell us a bit? You mentioned before NoSQL databases. What kind of databases are those?
NoSQL databases are basically flattened out databases. They do not follow the relational structure. Mm-hmm. They are not connected with each other. Mm-hmm. And they are not transactional, actually. Mm-hmm. They are mainly used for searching the databases for big data and having the data availability all across the globe. Mm-hmm. That really helps. But they are not for the systems like banks, where you want to make sure the transaction actually happened. The money went out from this account and it went into another account at the same minute. Mm-hmm. It's not for transactions, but it is really good when you want to have a really big data and distributed data.
Mm. Okay, and so what about MongoDB? Is that an OSQL type of database?
Yes, MongoDB is a NoSQL database.
One of the most popular ones, right? I heard it's like, out of the ones you mentioned, SQL Server, MySQL, Postgre, and Oracle, I think MongoDB is on the fifth place worldwide.
Exactly. It is. We haven't played with it, but yes, it is one of the popular NoSQL databases.
Mm. Okay. I've always been kind of fascinated by the way they work, these NoSQL databases. Very, right. Very interesting world. Okay. Mm. Relational versus non-relational.
Mm-hmm.
What are your comments there?
Well, I noticed a lot of our users actually have asked for a NoSQL database support, which is non-relational database
support.
Oh, so it's
the same thing. Non-relational is NoSQL database.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, because there is no data integrity guarantee there. Mm. There is no data integration. So I was wondering why they are asking for a non-relational database support in SQL DBM. And we figured out they just want to have the conceptual design in front of them, even though it is not physically connected like a primary key, foreign key, but they want to have a visual representation of their data.
Mm. Oh, okay. Okay. And so that's possible better in NoSQL databases.
Yes.
Okay. Could you explain a bit better, what is integrity in a database? What do you mean by that?
Data integrity mainly means, I would say, the first normal form, mm. which is making sure your data is not duplicate in different tables, and your data is not conflicting with other data values. For example, if you have let's go back to the same example. If you have a customer table and you have a order table, and there is a customer ID primary key and an order ID primary key in the orders table, so if customer ID is a foreign key, then it makes sure this foreign key is the owner of this value is existing in the customer table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So you cannot have customer ID which does not exist as a customer.
Okay, good. And if that rule can be broken, then you have data integrity issues.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. And so I wanted to ask you a question about the future. So, like, we are seeing so much more data around the world. So, like, it's coming from all over the place and it's, like, growing exponentially. What are you seeing for databases? How are databases going to be, and will they change in the next 3 to 5 years? What are your thoughts now? Which ones will be the most popular ones? Will organizations shift away from relational towards non-relational, or will everybody be using big databases and Hadoop and Spark type of systems? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think non-relational databases are getting very popular, but mm-hmm. that does not mean that they will eat up all the space even for the relational databases. They are totally different markets. Mm-hmm. For example, relational database is always going to be needed wherever you need transactions to happen, wherever you want to make sure the data goes in multiple tables at the same time. Mm-hmm. But non-relational database is going to be there where data integrity is not an issue, but the issue is the data must be distributed. Mm-hmm. The data must be available across the globe, even though it doesn't happen at the same second. Mm-hmm. For example, Google, mm-hmm. for example, Facebook, those all categories fall into non-relational databases. But all the bankings, all the stocks, they fall into relational databases.
Uh-huh. Okay. And is it true, like, is it the case that for unstructured data, you have to use a non-relational database?
It's not necessary, mm-hmm. but it's an overhead for the database to keep structure when they actually don't need structure.
Okay, gotcha. Interesting. So Facebook and Google and the like, they use mostly for like the search stuff, it's mostly on non-relational databases.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. And another thing I wanted to ask you is, like, sometimes we encounter, you know, like databases can have issues. They can have, for example, like integrity problems, and therefore they might not be, the links might be not correct between tables, or they might be, or somebody might have inputted the wrong data into a wrong table and stuff like that. So sometimes, because like a huge part of the data science process, is to prepare the data at the start. It takes about 70% of the time to prepare your data for analysis. And a lot of those issues that we encounter are problems like in the data itself, and some of them can come from data integrity issues or incorrect inputs, but some of them actually come from corrupt data. So when can databases get corrupt? What are some circumstances when you might have data which is on a completely good data set, with database which has integrity and the data is correct, but somehow it gets corrupt? What can happen?
If your data is corrupt, even in a good database design, I would say probably it has not put around the proper transactions. Mm-hmm. So for example, in the banking system, if there is a table from where the money goes out and in another table money goes in, but the money goes out, but the money going in had an issue, but it was not put around a transaction. But over the time, you will notice one account does not have money, but the both of them does not have money at all, because one of the queries failed, but another one passed. Mm-hmm. That could lead to a corrupt data issue, even in a good database design.
Mm-hmm. And so that failure is because of like...
because of the transaction.
Transaction. So maybe there's like a connection issue, or like why would that failure occur?
Because there was not a wrapper transaction put around the whole queries, all the queries. Like if there are different insert statements, but the transaction was not put around the whole block of inserts.
Okay, interesting. So does that mean like there should be some sort of supervising script that makes sure everything is working okay?
Yes, there should be checks at the end. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So like Q&A, right? That type of thing.
Exactly.
Okay, mm-hmm. Whether it's manual or automatic. All right, and what about, can databases, I've always wondered this question, can database get corrupt if you leave your server in the sun, for instance, or something, or you have a hard drive and you're carrying it and there's lots of like, you're carrying it on a bicycle and there's lots of vibration, or again, you leave it in the sun or something like that?
Well, that's definitely a hardware issue. Yeah. Yes, your data can be corrupted. It would be tough to recover.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not the right person to answer that, but some networking guy mm-hmm. would be the right person to answer all the physical conditions of the hard disk.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, let's go through a couple of quick questions that I have. So, first one is, what's the biggest challenge that you have what's the biggest challenge that you've had? Because like you weren't always running this project, but you were before, I'm assuming you were working with databases yourself. So like, what's the biggest challenge you've had throughout your career?
I guess the biggest challenge, it's ongoing challenge. It's explaining, or it's making, it's telling the community how important it is to design their databases properly. Mm-hmm. This is, for me, is like the core or the center point or the starting point of any project out there, even for the data analysts to design their database properly. Once it went offhand, then it becomes very, very expensive for the whole team to recover that. So the biggest challenge is to make them aware of this issue.
Okay. Well, hopefully we've done that with this podcast, that they made them, made everybody aware of the issue of designing. Okay. And that actually, when you said that it's very costly, led me to a thought that a lot of organizations that are more like older, that have been around for some time, you know, they have their databases in-house, and indeed they have, it's like very costly to change things. They have to update them and cost like millions of dollars to, I mean, the hardware. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on in-house versus cloud? Like a lot, like there's so many cloud solutions right now for databases. You know, like one of the biggest ones is Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. With their different types of servers that are on demand or other types of subscriptions. What are your thoughts for organizations that like do in-house databases versus databases in the cloud?
I think I personally like databases on cloud because it gives a lot of flexibility. Mm-hmm. You can bring on many instances at the same time. You have database availability at all the places. You take care of it, it's not expensive on the company. You take care of a lot of networking issues. You don't have to deal with those. But bottom line is, it depends on every company's policy. Every company is a different company when they have to think about their data. If it is a medical data, if there is a personal data, if it is a bank data, or in comparison to any other company which where the data is like, let's say blog posts or any blog website, where the data doesn't need to be very secure or it's not very personal data. So bottom line is the privacy policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha. So depending on that, that's how they'll go about it. And do you see more and more organizations moving to the cloud in the future?
I definitely see that. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great initiative by a lot of different companies like Amazon, Azure, to move in cloud.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. What is the recent win that you can share with us, like some major breakthrough that you've had in your career?
Or my recent win has been not too far ago. It's been going on. Mm-hmm. We are getting really, really great reviews, ratings on our product. People, the users really love it. And I cannot tell, like every day I get so many feedbacks telling us this is the product they've been waiting for. And we have done a tremendous job there.
Fantastic. Awesome. Okay. And I'm good. Like, I know we talked about the future a little bit, but what are your thoughts on, you know, like, obviously you've encountered data scientists using like databases and maybe even your product. What are your thoughts on what future do we see coming, or do you see coming in terms of databases, and what should our listeners prepare for? Like, which areas should they look into and study in order to be prepared for what's like the types of databases and database related concepts that are coming in the next couple of years?
In next couple of years, I see a huge movement towards a NoSQL database. Mm-hmm. I see huge movement towards online or cloud-based databases. Mm-hmm. I see a huge movement towards big data. Mm-hmm. Because data is growing at a tremendous speed. So how to analyze that huge data, I see like products like Tableau or any other products which analyze big data, that are going to be really in demand. And that's where the users need to train themselves how to work with huge databases and do analysis on that.
Gotcha. Okay. So three main trends is move to NoSQL databases. Then we're going to move to the cloud and more big data. Those are the three things to look out for. Okay, that's a cool. And I think we talked about all three, except for maybe big data. Could you mention a couple of words on big data? So, like we talked about NoSQL already, cloud. What are your thoughts or what are your comments on big data? Some takeaways for our listeners.
About big data, I see it more on the analysis part of that data. For example, any company which receive huge number of data, let's say it's collecting all the marketing data and analyzing how the trend is going, how it is shifting from making free users to paid users, and how at which point the data the users are going out. So wherever the data amount is like in terabytes, and how to analyze and how to make anything constructive out of that, finding patterns out of that. I think that's where the big data goes in.
Okay, awesome. And yeah, I agree with that. It's like it's got its own application, especially in the space of analytics. Big data is very helpful, like in the sense like you know when you're working in a bank, you really need that structure and to make sure everything is operating properly. Mm-hmm. But when you like just have a lot of data and you want to identify patterns and so on, they even have this whole concept of the data lake. When they're talking about big data, it's like a huge lake of all the data that you have. You throw it in there and then you fish it out as you need it. So yeah, that's really cool. Well, I think that's a good note to wrap this up on. Thank you so much, AJ, for coming on. And where can our listeners find you and learn more about your projects and follow your career?
I think they can visit sqldbm.com, mm-hmm. and we have their contact us page there. We also have a media presence. They can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And we are very responsive to all our users. So we are eager to answer any questions.
Awesome. Okay. Sounds good. We'll definitely include those links. And one more question for you today. Any book that you can recommend to our listeners to help them in their careers?
Well, currently, recently I read a book on designing products from Scott Perf. Mm-hmm. That I really liked. I think it's about knowing your product and how your users can love it, how you can enhance your products, how you can listen to your customers and bring those all important features into your product.
Okay, there we go. So is the book called Designing Products?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Designing products People Love. Designing That's a full name.
Products People Love by Scott Perf. Okay, well, thank you very much, AJ, once again for coming on the show, sharing your insights into the world of databases. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Kirill.
So there you have it. That was AJ Singh from SQL DBM. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Personally, my biggest takeaway was this whole notion of reverse engineering your database in order to understand the structure. Because as data scientists, when we work with databases, it can be like it is a challenge sometimes to find where the right data sits, how to connect it to other sources in your database, and what relations exist between them. So this is a great solution in case you find yourself in a bit of a pickle in that sense. Yeah, so make sure to check out the website. It's sqldbm.com. Check out the tool. They've got some great previews there. Also, connect with Ajay on LinkedIn. You can find the URL for his LinkedIn at the show notes at www.superdatascience.com/129. There you can also find the show notes for this episode. And yeah, on that note, we're going to wrap up. Thank you very much for your attention today. Can't wait to see you back here next time. And until then, happy analyzing.